John chapter 1, but then we're going to go to John 15 in a second. Let me find what I want to. I heard this right before we walked in class, and they better come on. I'll wait for a second. Because I realized I told y'all last week we're going to get out early, but then y'all had a class right after. Remember that? Yeah, y'all going to get out early for real tonight. For real, real. Why don't you give us the goods for we need? Oh, we about to drop them off. We about to drop this off. You know, don't take long. Just remember this. If you just, I'm about to talk about myself. When ministering, I'm going to tell you this before everybody comes again. When ministering, you say, well, why they go an hour? Why somebody go that long? It's difficult. The word of God is like a road. And you're trying to get down to the end of that road, but that road don't end. You know, and I only got, you know, if it's a good member that come on Bible study and on Sundays, only got an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe 3 hours of ministry time out of a week of how many hours of everything else in your head, everything else in your mind. And so a lot of times it takes that, but it really doesn't take that long to get to the point. It doesn't take that long. If you go back and read some of Jesus' messages, you can read, if you just read through them, it probably didn't take long for him to finish. 10, 15 minutes, he was out of there. And then Jesus would say, he wasn't trying to get you to understand. He who has ears to hear. God bless you, amen. That's in the class right there. Yes, you got to go home and look at that. Now, he understood. Now, I'm going to let you understand something. He understood. Come on, they got to come on now. Come on, I'm about to start. I'm trying to get some grace, but come on. I'm trying to get some grace. You have to understand that Jesus understood that you had to go back and study this for yourself. You've got to, we have to change the concept of what studying the Word of God is, and that it not be a duty, but it's you. Amen. You're studying you. Amen. So now it takes me from being a duty to a love, because I understand I'm learning more about who I am. But that's why this has to change. You cannot, Jesus, nobody can reveal it to you but the Father. And he's got to reveal it to you from the inside of you. It's not a group thing. It's not a couple thing. It's not any of that. He's got to reveal it to you for you. And the only way you get there is by jumping in the dirt for yourself.
Amen.
Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
So this is what I heard. I just heard this just now, about to come to class, and I'm switching classes. And so when I do the different classes, I have to switch modes, because I'll come in here and start talking about the church. And then I switch modes. And I heard that the word that we study, he said it's a guideline to the vine. Yeah, write it down. I've never heard it before. It's a guideline to the vine. So even when we get into this, it's guiding us to something that's further than just what's on the pages. And the first scripture jumps up. I'm in John chapter 15, and he starts off and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me, y'all in that, John chapter 15, I'm sorry, did I tell y'all John 15? Right. John chapter 15. And when I say John 15, a lot of us jump to our favorite one, which is verse 7. You know, we'll quote that one in the name of Jesus, right? But he's saying a lot of other things in here. John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am, and that's enough right there if we want to stop. But he said, I am the true vine. That means there's some other vines. Right. I'm just getting it right there. I don't have, there are some other vines. Right. He said, I'm the true vine. They got some other vines that'll give some other life. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Anybody ever had poison ivy before? Because you ran up on the wrong vine. Oh, it's a real vine. It just ain't giving you the life that you thought you're going to be living for the next few days. Right? So here he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch where? No, on me. On me? Around me. With me. No, what does it say? What does it say? Every branch in me. Now, we're always thinking inside. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, read it. But why is it that, now if he was just talking about the Bible, then everybody that read the Bible would be clean. Well, we know that's not the case, right? That ain't the case for us. Amen. Answer me. Amen. Answer me. We got, oh, that ain't a dirty. Yeah, y'all. Right? It would be a simple fix for some of the dirt. Right? But he's not talking surface. Now you are clean. Through the word, and I remember now, we got to go to the context, because John chapter 1, I don't have to go over there now, we've been reading it the last few weeks, but he said the word was made flesh, and then it dwelt, or it lived among us, right? So now when you see the word, he's talking life now, he's talking identity now, he's talking him now as you, and you as him, right? So now you are clean through, now it doesn't make sense now. Now you're clean through this identity. Everything else is dirty, but this identity keeps you clean. Yeah. I'm not talking about morality right now. Yeah. I'm talking about identity. Bad morals come from bad identity. Give me that one, please. Bad morals come from bad identity. Remember, every action that comes forth comes from every do comes from a be. Every doing comes from a being. Every time you do something, it comes from what you believe that you are at that moment. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And so your identity breeds your action. So bad morals come from a lack of identity. Well, I can't stop that. I got to break the habit. So I got to do 21 days of this, or 31 days of this, or 52 days of this, identity. And a lot of times when we deal with habits or different things, we never go to an identity. We deal with the action. The other day I started realizing don't beat the fruit up. You take the fruit off the tree, right? Everything produced after this kind. You understand it, right? I'm gonna clean through the word. You the vine, right? We're gonna talk about this vine. Everything produces after its kind. So the kind got to be known first so we know what the produce is. You don't get oranges on the apple tree. Right? Apple tree going to produce. But if apples is not the thing that we want, then we can't deal with the apples and get mad with the apples. We mad with the apple. We took the apple off the tree, threw it on the ground, stomped on it, and now done beat it. How many habits have you done that with and they grew right back on the same branch? And it's going to grow back, and a lot of times it'll grow back more furious than the time before. Yes, sir. Wow. The Bible talks about the enemy that you sweep the house clean and then spirit leave, but he come back with more of them. So we're destroying the fruit, but we don't deal with the root. Listen to me. You go to the root. That's why you're talking about the vine. I'm the vine. He's going to say, let me, I'm the vine, you the branches. I'm the main thing, you coming out of me. So every action that you don't like comes from an identity that you don't know. Every time. If we settle down and search identity instead of praying in tongues and doing all these other steps, looking for all these other things, you don't need a lot of Lord, show me. He's showing you. Go see who you are in Christ, and that's showing you who you really are, and then you begin to change. Like, it immediately, he who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and that other stuff becomes a new thing. Anybody got a testimony? Yeah, I know, amen, all of us. Right? But thank God that has become something that's become a new thing that helps somebody through a thing. What was meant to destroy you is giving life to another. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes.
So here we go again. You are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And I want to give you some context also before we finish reading. Jesus, when you're reading about Jesus, I like reading the gospel. When you're reading about Jesus, you have to, you know, Jesus said, he as is to hear, let him hear, right? And you have to understand that he's saying things in a certain way because of the climate of the times. Even here, you start talking when Judas left Jesus, when he said, well, do what you're going to do quickly. And Judas rolled out. Y'all remember that? We'll read a little bit this semester. Then he said, okay, I'm not talking to y'all in parables, I'm going to talk to you plainly. Right? Because they were inside. This wasn't a group meeting. This wasn't a congregational meeting. This wasn't a out in the crowd thing. We talking in the group right now. Because there's some things that I'm saying to you that the people on the outside will kill you for. Are you understanding me? There's some things that if I say it out in the streets, it'll violate their principles and their laws. And they'll want to destroy me for it. It ain't time yet. Same thing with you on the inside. The reason he's going to speak to you on the inside and show you things from the inside, because there are things on the outside that'll cast you down for being that crazy. Who you think you are? I already know. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So now the conversation goes on the inside. You got to understand Jesus in the context he's saying. It's been this, I've spoken to you, verse 4, abide in me. I mean, this would sound crazy. If I'm sitting there talking to a man, this would sound crazy. If he tells me, live in me, what? What are you talking about? But he's getting to a point. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now catch the principle now. He's not talking positive or negative, and he has to involve himself in there so you have identity. Because realize, whatever vine you abide in, that's the one that's going to produce fruit. If you abide in a vine of doubt, you'll produce more doubt. If you abide in a vine of fear, you produce more fear. You understand that? So now he keeps talking about abide in me, because I got to bring you there. He didn't say abide in the scripture. He didn't say abide in the church. He didn't say abide in this or that. Abide in, live in me and I in. Then he go back and say it again. I am the vine. See verse 5. And you are the branches. He that liveth abideth in me, and I in him. Now, notice he don't leave nothing out either. Those are one-ship statements. Those are one-ship statements. Abide in me and I in you. That's one ship. That's immediately one. What he's saying is, when we one, he didn't say come abide in me and left it like that. You got to live in me and I got to live in you. We got to live in each other. We got it's just one of us. The same, that same, those two that's abiding each other, same bringeth forth much fruit. And what the last line is? What have we been doing? We've been doing nothing. Like, what are these things that we've been trying to do without him? They good steps. They good rules. Good, cute little, you know, phrases and stuff, right? But he makes it clear, without me. And so the abiding has to be both. I in him and he in me. If I leave one out, it's not together. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. And verse 7 is our favorite one. Y'all know that, right? Go ahead and read. I'm going to let you read it. Ready to read. Okay, go. But he slow down. Let me let you finish. Go ahead, because then it's your favorite. Go ahead. Read again. Ready to read.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will.
Now, we've been asking what we will. Right? We've been asking what we will. But we will ain't lined up with his will. Amen. We've been skipping a step. What did the first part say? Verse 7, if was a fifth, right? You ever heard that before? Yeah, we ain't gonna get that, but you get what I'm saying, all right? Right? If. That means it's conditional. Like, it's not guaranteed. It's something that you got to do. I love Jesus because he always puts you in action. Take my yoke upon me. I'm going to give you something, but take it. Right? If you abide where?
In me.
Around me.
In
with
me.
In
me.
Looking at me.
In me.
Oh, you abide in me.
Yeah.
Huh? And then, but he said something else. What did he say? What's the next part?
In my
he done done something there. You ain't got to pay attention to the context of what he's done. See, he's talking in code here. See, Jesus is talking code so you can understand. The code is still going on nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know they'll still crucify you. They'll still string you up, right? Oh, the string up days ain't over. And I ain't talking about the politics. The government's stringing you up. The one sitting next to you. The one sitting by you in church will string you up. So he's still talking in code. Now he said, if you abide in me, then he said, what's the next part?
My
words. We're talking about living by the book, right? The word of God, right? But right. My words abide in you. So he's put something together, and if you don't pay attention to the context, you won't know what he's saying. Remember, the word was made and dwelt among us, right? So now he's talking in code again, but he's saying the same thing, you abide in me and I in you, but then he's saying it again. If you abide in me and my words, my lifestyle, who I am, my character, my being, who I am, abide in you, then what'll happen after that? You, who gonna ask? Who gonna ask? No. We're gonna ask Jesus to do it. No, we're gonna ask the Holy Ghost to come and do it. Holy Ghost, come and touch these people in the name of Jesus. No, we be praying. Holy Ghost, come in this room and touch us. Who asked God to go do it? God, go move that mountain for me.
You.
Who, what did the next part say? Who gonna ask?
You.
Then say I'ma ask. Say, I am going to ask.
I am going to ask.
He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask. Ask what? Well, who will?
No.
The Father's will. Why didn't he say that? You ask what the Father's will is. That's how we pray, don't we? Lord, what's your will for the day? And he say, you. We don't hear him sometimes. Lord, what's your will? You. Don't take a lie. He ain't got a long thing to say. Easy. What's your will, Lord? You. So be you. Right? But I am who I am. Then he said it on a regular. Say it on a daily basis so you don't get beside yourself. But be yourself. Don't get beside yourself, outside your body, outside yourself. You must be outside yourself. And my words about you, you're going to ask what you will. Right? But there's a prerequisite. The being in him and him in me, his word in me, changes my will. And my will becomes his will, and his will becomes my will. So then whatever I say, I'll have what I say. Come on, what does it say? You ask what you will, and then do what?
It shall be done unto
who? Oh, it's going to be done to you. Not for you. Done to you. You get it? Herein is my Father glorified. It says this again. Here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. And I keep on reading. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You keep my commandments. You shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that your joy may remain where? Verse 11, in you, that your joy might be full. There's another scripture I want to get to. Let's see. He gets down here and says, you ain't chose me. In verse 16, you ain't chose me, I chose you. Verse 16. The same chapter, verse 16. He said, you have not chosen me. Verse 15. Well, let me just read. Can I read? We'll do some reading real quick. Let's start back at verse 9. The Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. Wow. I've read this a bunch of times, but I see something new every time. He said that my joy might remain in you. You understand what he said? You understand what he's trying to say, that his joy remains in you.
Yes.
That what I got in me is in you.
Yes.
And the word he uses, remain.
Yes.
So that these things I've spoken to you, can we slow it down for a second? This is living by the book. So you got to slow down. Stop conquering the scripture. So you can say that you read so many scriptures in a day. I done my duty for the day. You ain't done nothing if you don't know you better.
Amen. That's good.
Yes, I got a question. You ever read scriptures and don't remember what you read?
Yes.
It, all the time. Probably today, huh? But I read it though. And I don't remember nothing I read. I can't retain nothing. It says something about something, but I don't remember everything it said. This is a product of importance. All right, now I'm not. There's an old statement say, whatever's important to you, you do. Mm-hmm. And I said it last class we had, and I said it last night in Bible study, and I'll say it again, and it's resounding to me more and more, that out of the whole equation of this thing, we've left out the main part, and it's us. So we always leave us. So we always want to do the will of the Father and leave out our will, like we don't have one. Right? But the truth is our will must be tied up with his will because it becomes the same will. Are y'all understanding me?
Yes,
see, the wills that you've been living is the clutter of the system. It's what they told you. That's what they told you you are. That's what they told you you was here for. Right? But the original will is the will of the Father. But it's been such a struggle to study the word, and don't give me your super Christian thing right now. No, it's no problem for me. No, it's tiring sometimes.
Yeah.
All right? But the time that it gets that way is because you've left yourself out. See, you're interested in you. Oh, yeah, you're interested in you because you got dressed. Look at you. Oh, you're interested in you because you put your seatbelt on the way here. Maybe. You're interested in you because you made sure you ate today unless you was fasting. But I'm pretty much sure everybody ate today. You're interested in you because you're watching at the lights to make sure that you don't expire.
Yeah.
So you're interested in you,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Come on, say, I'm interested in me. Say it.
Yes.
And that's good, and God knows you.
Yes.
He made you that way, right?
Yes,
sir. So you're interested, but if you're interested in you, but you leave you out, then you're always out of your body trying to do something else, and you're not involved, so you'll never do it with everything.
Wow.
You'll never stick to it, because you're doing it for somebody else. Even God, you're doing it for somebody else to become a tall. Not he your boss, he not your daddy. Come on, y'all, we got to bring this thing home.
Yeah.
But when I begin to involve myself as a son, and when I say son, I'm saying father at the same time, but there's no such thing as a son without a father.
All right.
And when I say our father, I'm immediately calling us sons.
Yes.
Right? Because there's no such thing, it defines the other. Then I've involved myself in there, and now I get lost in my identity. I get lost in studying me. I'm not studying what God's will is. I am God's will. Say it.
I am God's will.
So now I'm studying me. I'm studying the true me. I'm studying the things, and the more I learn, especially in these red words, right? The more I learn about me, the more of those scales drop off of my eyes.
All right.
And the more all these other attributes that don't really fit. Well, I know some stuff is about me I want to change. Come on, amen. I know some things about me that I've been working on. I've been trying to get it together. And I know I got it from my daddy. I got it from my mama. I know I just picked it up from just something happened to me in my childhood. I know I just picked it up from learning the wrong thing. I done studied this class at school, and they taught me this foolishness, and faith come by hearing. So I developed faith for something that ain't really me, and I know it ain't jiving, like the old school said. But you realize you're getting that you're studying you. He said that my joy might remain in you, right? And that your joy might be full. So the only way your joy gonna be full is his joy remaining. Ain't no other fulfillment. Verse 12, and he said, this is my commandment. Remember, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Huh? You remember that one, right? Yes, you keep my commandment right up there. He said, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. We talk about commandments more and more in these two chapters, in these 14 and 15 and 16. But he said, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, right? Verse 10, right? And then now we're back to verse 12, and he says, this is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? My son, you're clean through my word. I told you who you really were. This is how I loved you. I didn't love you because I passed something out to you. I didn't love you because I smiled to you and said a nice hello, because those can have a lot of fury behind them sometimes. Come on, you ever answered the phone nice, but you was just arguing? You just in a hot argument. Ooh, Lord. And you had to growl in your voice ready to argue. Hello. That's why we don't. Smile. We smile. I've dealt with probably thousands, hundreds of thousands of people over my lifetime. Right? And we all have, just in life in general. But, you know, and especially at church. Because, you know, you don't feel your best every time. You don't really feel like talking to everybody all day, every day. But, you know, I gotta come out here. So. Right? Inside I'm screaming. Yes, sir. You too, come on. Say me too, come on.
Me too.
Say me too. I'm just being honest about mine. Just, hey, y'all. I try to keep it for real, but some days it just, the more I know identity, the less days I have like that. Right? Yes. But that ain't love.
Amen.
You smile and you're nice. Good morning. Blessed, highly favored. Your love, you don't love nobody. What's the greatest commandment of the law? You know it? Greatest commandment of the law. What Jesus said, the greatest commandment of the law? They come and question him. What do you mean? He said, love what? Love the Lord your God with how much? All your heart, your mind, your soul, right? Mm-hmm. Wow. And what's the next part? No. You got to explain. Yeah, it's that. But you got to explain how he said it. Because he said, and the second one just like the first one. Right. He made sure to say it that way. He said, the second one is just like the first one. So don't get up here talking about loving God. And you ain't loving your neighbor with the same energy. Keep the same energy. Right?
Amen.
He says, love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul. And the second one is just like this one. Love your neighbor. How? Like you love yourself. First of all, so the first thing you got to do is love yourself. How do you love yourself? By loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And what happens when you get there? You realize that he's not just my God, but he's my Father. And if he's my Father, that means I'm a son. And if I call myself a son, it makes me equal with the Father. And then I love my neighbor the same way and say, hey, you know what? So my witnessing changes. My witnessing doesn't say, hey, you know you're a sinner and you need to be saved by a holy God, or you know something wrong with you and you need to come down over here with me, or that this and this. No, because I would fight you if you called me a sinner from jump. I never had that happen before, because I've been saved since I've been breathing, as far as I know. You know, I don't remember past the prayer that I prayed. I don't remember it. All right, the baptized, I just remember baptized, and I thought they were trying to drown me. That's all I remember. Okay? Right? But now the conversation doesn't come off degrading you at first. So what if I say, you know God's your Father, but you just don't know it? You know you got everything you need right there on the inside of you, but you just don't know it yet. Ain't that easy to have a conversation about? And so you don't like nobody yelling at you, do you?
No.
Somebody fussing at you, calling you out your name. You don't like that, do you?
No.
Even if I didn't know, don't call me nothing that I don't know. Just leave me alone. Right?
Yes, sir.
So I love my neighbor. I'm going to go give them identity. Just like somebody gave me identity.
Yeah.
Jesus says, I loved you. You love others.
Yeah.
The one that could have told us that we wasn't good enough didn't tell us we wasn't good enough.
Amen.
The one person that had the right to tell us, you ain't no good. You ain't good enough. You need to get better. You need to do better. You need to be a better person. The one person that had a right to do that to us didn't do it. Amen. He didn't tell us that. Amen. That's powerful, man. Yes. He didn't dog us out. Amen. And tell us something was wrong with us. Amen. And so you love your same way. My son, you clean through the word. Clean through that lifestyle. Amen. Amen. What time is it? You're welcome.